R&IB.
Minutes to 8 is the time, and still to come in the first hour of the early edition, we're going to have a look ahead to tonight's terrestrial TV in the company of Robert Kirkwood. For now though, people who are blind from birth are able to detect tactile information faster than sighted people. That's according to research carried out at McMaster's University in Ontario in Canada. Inside Radio's Leanne Coyle spoke to lead researcher Professor Daniel Goldreich.
Well, there were really two things that got us interested in pursuing this line of research. One is that there have been some very interesting changes in the brains of people who are blind, especially those who are congenitally blind, blind from birth. What's normally the visual part of the brain, which is in the back of the brain in the occipital lobe, appears to be taken over by non-visual senses, such as touch and hearing. So there's a great deal of interest right now among neuroscientists like me about whether this has a perceptual consequence, and if so, what is the perceptual consequence of having a greater part of the brain devoted to touch than, say, is devoted to touch in the sighted person. And so that was one basic sort of scientific question that got us interested in pursuing this line of research. And another aspect of this was just we're fascinated with Braille reading. I mean, Braille is such an amazing skill to behold. And so I was very curious about, is there something going on in the sort of tactile perceptual abilities of Braille readers that allows them to read Braille so well, especially those who read quite fluently contracted Braille. Often those are people who were blind from a very early age. And we were curious about whether there was something special about their sense of touch that would allow them to read Braille so well.
Okay, so as you say, you were curious about this. So tell us a bit about how you carried out the research and what your findings were.
Sure. So we tested a number of people who had different degrees of vision loss and also from different ages. From congenitally blind people to those who became blind as adults. And we also tested a large group of sighted people as a comparison. And what we did is we have a piece of equipment in the laboratory that essentially just enables us to move a small probe, about a 1 square centimeter circular flat probe, up and down against someone's index finger. And we can control the movement of the probe quite precisely with a computer program. And we asked several questions using this probe. One question was simply to determine how small a tap on the finger different people could feel, and whether they could detect, for example, the difference between a small tap and one that's slightly larger. And for those experiments, we found that the sighted people and all the blind people performed equivalently. So everyone could feel very small taps of almost down to 10 micrometers, so 10 microns are 10,000ths of a millimeter to the fingertip. But then we did some more complex experiments to determine how rapidly the brain is actually capable of perceiving that tap. So once the tap is delivered, it takes a fraction of a second for the brain to detect. And this is true for any sensory stimulus that we receive. It could be an auditory stimulus as well, or a visual stimulus for a sighted person. The brain takes a fraction of a second to create a perception. And so what we did is we delivered the tap to the finger, and then a very short time later, just a split second later, we delivered a much stronger and longer lasting vibration. And this vibration we use as a tool to essentially interrupt the brain's ability to process the tap. And so we could tell by how far apart in time the vibration had to be before the tap could be fully felt. We could then assess the speed of the brain's perceptual processing. And there we found that people who were congenitally blind were able to process the tap perceptually much more rapidly than people who were sighted or even who became blind later in life.
That's very fascinating within itself. Why do you think that is, though? Do you have any answers to that question yet?
Well, we don't know. There are two possibilities. One is that practice with things like reading Braille throughout life somehow enables the brain to learn how to become faster.
And were all the non-sighted people that you did research on, were they all Braille readers?
Yes. So all of the congenitally blind people, and also all of the people who became blind in childhood, were also proficient Braille readers. This is just due to the demographics of the people that we tested. So we would love to be able to test people, for example, who are congenitally blind, but were not Braille readers, but we didn't find any. So one possibility is it's due to practice with Braille that makes the brain faster at perceiving. Another possibility is that this change in the brain, this functional reorganization, which we refer to as a type of plasticity, the takeover of what would normally be visual brain areas by touch, that this might allow people to process tactile input very rapidly. And that's actually the explanation we favor, because similar research from other labs has shown that congenitally blind people are also faster to process auditory stimuli. So we think that there's something special about being blind from a very early age that speeds up the processing in general of the non-visual senses.
Okay. Do you think the explanation could be something as simple as there's no visual cue to distract from, how the other senses perceive different experiences?
It's possible, but we've done previous experiments in my laboratory. We've looked at the performance of sighted people, not on this particular task, but on other tactile tasks, when the sighted people are kept in the pitch darkness or when they're in light. And actually, we find that on the tasks that we've tested, that sighted people do better in the light. So I don't think it's something as simple as being distracted by vision. But we haven't actually repeated this particular experiment with sighted people in the dark. The other thing, though, that makes me think it's not just being distracted by visual inputs that explains this is that the congenitally blind participants in our study actually outperformed the people who became blind later in life as well. So who also would not have been distracted by visual input.
Okay.
And then I just want to add one other very interesting thing we found is that among the Braille readers in our study, those who were able to perceive the fastest were also the fastest Braille readers. So there was a very nice correlation between this measure we made with the taps and the vibrations to determine how rapidly the brain can create a perception and how rapidly someone is actually able to read Braille. And so we think that actually the ability of the brain to perceive rapidly is actually what is allowing the person to read Braille at a particular speed. So that essentially as the fingers moving across the Braille embossed dots, the time it takes to go from one character to the next is constrained by this sort of, essentially a Braille reading speed limit, which is how rapidly the brain can perceive one character before going on to the next character. So that basically someone who takes a little longer to perceive would have to move their finger more slowly, otherwise they would begin to get interference from one character to the next. I think the sense of touch is a fairly underappreciated sense that we all have. Most sighted people in particular are not fully aware of how much touch provides for them and enriches their lives. And so I'd like to tell people that, for example, the skin is the body's largest sensory organ. And although we're not aware of it, there are many different types of tactile receptors that we have, so receptors for the sense of touch. Much in the way that we have different receptors in our eyes that allow us to see different colors, we have different receptors in the skin that give us essentially different flavors or colors of touch. So we have some receptors for vibration, others for detecting the structure of a surface that is pressed against the finger, others for detecting the stretch of the skin, and then yet others for detecting painful stimuli and cold and hot stimuli. And then finally, the sense of touch also gives us a sense for where our limbs are in space and a sense of ownership of our own bodies. And so it's really a fascinating sensory system that I think especially sighted people take for granted, because there's no way they can turn it on or off the way they can turn vision off by closing the eyes. Or in the old-fashioned term for hearing and sight and smell and taste were the special senses. And touch was never included in that category. So by default, it was, I suppose, a less special sense. But in fact, it's quite special. And it's so special, so fundamental, that I think it would be really terrible to lose the sense of touch. It would probably be the worst sense to lose.
Yeah, your findings in this project are fascinating. Will you be continuing in this field?
Yes. So we plan next to do two things. One is we're actually creating computer programs to simulate the processing of tactile inputs by the nervous system. So we want to try to create essentially simulated neurons, nerve cells, that can feel in software programs to try to understand how this all works a little bit better. And then we would also like to start studying people as they learn to read Braille. So, for example, we could give the same tactile task that we did to determine the speed of perception in a blind person when they first learn Braille, and then track their perceptual ability and their Braille reading speed throughout their learning to see whether those correlate.
Okay, well, you must keep in touch and let us know how you get on with your future endeavours. For just now, though, Professor Daniel Goldreich from McMaster University in Ontario, Canada, thank you very much for talking to us today on Insight Radio.
Thank you for having me.